Spirit Radio Podcasts.
Well, there's going to be a very interesting documentary airing this week on RTE2. Now, it's about a little boy called Banny that an Irish family tried to adopt from Belarus. It's called Finding Banny. And with me in studio, I have the presenter of the documentary, Colm Flynn. Good morning, Colm. Thanks for coming into studio.
Thanks very much, Wendy, for having me. And before we say anything, I want to say congratulations.
Thank you very much. Is this in relation to the bump?
This is in relation to the little bambino who is on the way. I didn't realise. And when I saw you this morning coming into the studio, I got a nice surprise. So wonderful news.
Well, thank you very much. Well, I want to just...
Will you name it after me? Will you say... Name it Colm.
Do you know what? Colm isn't actually on the list, but the name list is a contentious issue at the moment. Because every time myself and my husband talk about names, we think of names we like, but then what comes up next is things that it rhymes with that you don't like or how the name could be shortened. For example, I like Matthew, but you can shorten it to Matt, Matty. You know, it's very difficult to find a non kind of shortened-y name. So well, anything like that, she can help me out with.
Let me tell you, Wendy, Colm cannot be shortened to anything. Cull, maybe. Cull.
But no one calls you C.
No one calls me C-Dog. So you should call it Colm, okay?
Okay, I will put it to the deciding committee and I'll let you know how that goes.
It better be Colm.
Anyway, first of all, tell us a little bit about how the idea for this documentary came about in the first place.
Well, I am a reporter and presenter over on the Today Show on RT Television, and I do work with BBC and lots of different people. So a bit like yourself, you know, always reporting on different stories and talking to people all over the place. And that would include covering stories that are light and fun, but also sometimes very sad, heartwarming stories as well. And there are always other people's stories. They're never my own. You know, you always have that kind of detachment as a reporter. You're going in from the outside asking questions. And this year, 2016, happens to be the 30th anniversary of the Chernobyl nuclear disaster. And I'm fascinated by the disaster. I always have been. And I was sitting down earlier this year talking to a producer about how we would cover this and what kind of program we could make. And then I started telling them about the story of a little boy called Banny who was with my family once in the year 2000. I'm sure you know, Wendy, the exchange program that's there where, you know, each year children come over from regions affected by Chernobyl and they stay with host families.
And we've had a really long standing history of that. Like, we have kept it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More than any other country in the world. I mean, we are the ones who stepped up to the mark after the disaster, poured in lots of aid and relief, and then started this exchange program. A few charities sprung up like Eddie Roach down in Cork, and then you had another guy called Brother Liam O'Mara, and he runs the Burn Chernobyl Project. So I remember when I was around, I think, 12 years of age, one day being at home and we went to Mass, and then after the gospel at Mass, instead of the homily, someone went up from the charity and said, look, we are bringing these children over, they're going to be here for a couple of weeks, we want host families for just 1 week, any volunteers? And my parents said to myself and my brother and sister, you know, what do you think? Do you think we should take in an orphan from Belarus for a week? But Wendy, when you're 12 years of age, you're kind of not thinking of the big pictures, you know? You're thinking, what's for dinner? Am I going to get my homework done in time to watch The Simpsons? That's kind of it. So we say, yeah, that sounds great, whatever. And then a couple of weeks passed, and one day we were coming home from school, and I'll never forget, my mother turned to us in the car. We were sitting in the back, myself and my brother and sister, and she said, remember we talked about that little boy? Well, his name is Banny, and he's sitting at home waiting. And she said, don't be surprised, but he's very disabled, physically and mentally. And, you know, we wouldn't have had any experience of a child like this, especially living in the house with us. So we said, okay. And then we arrived home and went into the sitting room, peered around the corner of the door. And sure enough, sitting there on the couch was a little Banny.
And he stayed with you for longer than a week, right?
Yeah, he was very, very small, very frightened when he arrived. And the original plan was that he was meant to be with us for a week. But then, as the week kind of went on, slowly but surely a little personality started to come out in him. When he first arrived, you would hear this kind of low grinding noise constantly. And we would later learn that it was him grinding his teeth together. And he was grinding them so much that they were ground right down to the gum. And he had all these other little habits. And that was because he looked around 3 or 4, but he was actually 6 or 7. And he'd been left in a cot for 6 years. He'd actually been left in a cot with no stimulation. So he developed all these quirks and ways of relieving the stress and the anger and, you know. So they started to disappear and they started to fade. And this little boy became more robust and he began to laugh. And he could never walk or talk, but he started to communicate with us in his own way. And my parents talked to the charity and said, okay, he's in the country for a month. He's meant to be moving around to different families, but he's getting on so well here in the Flynn family in Ennis and County Clare. Can we keep him for the entire month? And that we did.
And then what happened next? He lived with you for, was it a year and a half in total?
Yeah, at the end of the month, my poor parents were, you know, faced with a very tough dilemma. Here's this little boy who was a ghost when he first arrived, scared, nervous, petrified, frail. And now after just a month, he has come on in leaps and bounds. You know, they thought, how could we send him back to the orphanage in Belarus? We never knew anything about his parents. It was always surrounded in mystery. We were told that his father, his name was Peter. He was never on the scene. His mother, maybe she was alive, maybe she wasn't.
And orphanages at that time, there was a lot of kind of stories at the time of just them not being the best of places and bad conditions and things like that.
Oh yeah, we'd seen video footage of the orphanage where he came from, and it was grim, you know. They're all left to their own devices in these rooms packed with children. They could have their feces on the wall, the smells, they're just not cared for in the way we would care for people with special needs here. Over in that part of the world, and it's difficult for us to realise here and to comprehend it, but if you've any sort of disability or handicap or any sort of special need, you're not even a second class citizen. I mean, you're way down on the list. And that's why these orphanages and asylums, they build them in the middle of nowhere. So they're out of sight and out of mind. Like when we shot the documentary there, we spent a lot of time in the beautiful capital of Belarus, Minsk. And it's a very impressive city, beautiful buildings, beautiful people. But you never see anybody in a wheelchair. You never see anyone with Down syndrome. You never see anyone with special needs. You just don't see it because they're out of sight, out of mind. They're ashamed of them. So my parents thought, we can't send him back there. And they spoke to us and we'd all fallen in love with Banny. We wanted him to be part of the family.
He was like another brother, really.
He was just like a brother. And there was never even a big discussion as to let's adopt him. It was just a natural thing we wanted to do. And we started the adoption process. And for a year and a half, he lived with our family. Did everything with us. Was one of the family, was going to school. We had him baptised. And the adoption was cleared on both sides.
And then what happened?
Then one day, my mam got a call out of the blue from, I can't remember, was it someone in the charity or someone from Belarus, saying that Banny, although the adoption was going through, he had to come back to the orphanage for 1 month. And this was very standard and routine, that they had to do some medical checks. And once they'd done the medical checks, he would be allowed return to Ireland and that would be it finalised. So I think my parents were suspicious and they didn't really know what this was about. So my mother went to Belarus with him, took some time off work, and then it kind of quickly became apparent that he wasn't going to be allowed back to Ireland and he was going to be put back into the orphanage.
So part of this documentary is you trying to find answers as to what actually happened to Banny.
We were never given answers at the time. My mother was told he has to go back into the orphanage and that's that. And, you know, over there again, the old Soviet mentality is still very much there. I mean, when you look around, the Soviet regime is physically there. You know, you can see the symbols in the buildings and in the people's uniforms as they march by. But the whole psyche of suspicion and, again, pride, shame that this person who has special needs will be going out as an ambassador. So someone told my mother unofficially, off the record, you know, in their eyes, you're a very well-off Western family with three healthy children. Why on earth do you want this disabled boy? It makes no sense to us. So the decision was made that he must stay in Belarus.
And one of the things when you got over to Belarus was that you were talking there about suspicion, Cullum, is that seemed to be happening to you as well. I mean, you weren't there long before you were hearing that the KGB were like looking for you, and it must have been quite intimidating then.
It was such a headache to make the programme from a production's point of view because we had to do so much paperwork before we went over to cross all the T's and dot the I's as you need to do when you're going to that part of the world to film. And then, you know, little things, as soon as we arrive, we're filming outside the airport to get some shots of the airport. The police come along, stop filming. We show our accreditation. We had official documentation from the Belarusian government to say that we were press, foreign press. Doesn't matter, you can't film here. Where can we film? Over, nowhere. In the city, police stopping us. And, you know, we've always got this hanging over our head that we might have the equipment confiscated. You know, something might be taken off us. And then the first day we went to the orphanage and I was so wound up going out. You know, I was thinking, oh my God, is this the right thing to do? Go and see Banny again. What if it evokes memories in his mind. What if it upsets him? Like, what good would that be for
him? It was going to be an emotional journey for you without all of that other stuff kind of going on.
Yeah, and then as soon as we arrived at the orphanage after the 2-hour drive, because remember, they're not in the cities, they're out in the middle of the countryside, in the middle of nowhere. We arrive at the gates. We meet Brother Liam of the charity, and he immediately says, the director wants to see you up in his office. And we knew straight away my heart sank, because he wasn't bringing me up to high-five me and tell me how glad he was to see me. So he brought us up, and then he told us that we had to stop. No filming.
And after travelling all that way, but you did, and people will get to see in the documentary, you did get to meet Panny again.
We got to meet him for 7 minutes, and we were told we could spend more time with him. You know, we planned to spend a week with him, and we'd all this arranged with the orphanage. We were told immediately when we got there we had to leave. We had to, you know that great word, Wendy, compromise. We had to compromise with this very formidable director of the orphanage, who didn't care to smile, didn't care for me there, didn't care for Irish television or anything like that. And he just wanted us out as quick as possible.
Which seems so different from the interactions that I saw and the bit that I've seen with Brother Liam O'Mara, who's working kind of tirelessly over there. He has a very different attitude.
Brother Liam is great. Brother Liam O'Mara, the Irish Christian brother who has given up of his life, basically, to improve the lives of these people. And all the Irish volunteers, many people listening now, around the country, who have gone to Belarus, who have taken in children. I mean, it resonates with people all over the country because we have such a connection. And it is the Irish who have been making this difference. And I think that was our saving grace. I think the orphanage director, you know, it's something he couldn't ignore because they don't get the proper funding they should. So a lot of the facilities there in the actual orphanage are funded by the Irish. Maybe he thought, if I completely kick these guys out, that will jeopardise the money coming in from Irish volunteers and so on and so forth. So he allowed us to see Banny for a few minutes and then kicked us out again. And then we had the KGB after us, and we had to go to Chernobyl. And it was a tough programme to make on so many levels. You know, personally for myself, for my family who got to see it then afterwards and who saw Banny after all this time. And, you know, I think it would have been a lot easier if I saw Banny and he was happy and he was laughing and he had come on. But none of that was the case.
That's one of the things that I think people will find particularly emotional and harrowing as well, is that what I find incredible is, on the one hand, and you said it yourself, Colm, how after just a month with kind of love and care with your family in County Clare, how much he changed is just remarkable. And then when you see the footage of Banny now, it tells a very different story. That must have been really difficult, because obviously you're kind of imagining, well, what would it have been like had he have stayed? Who would he have been and who he is now?
Mm-hmm. I mean, what did you think when you saw it? Did you think he went backwards?
Yeah, I mean, I just thought, because when you're watching just the change of when he was with your family, you're just going, it lifts the human spirit, because you're saying it's just what really love did for this child, attention, care, how much it completely transformed his little personality and everything. And then just seeing him now, where, yeah, I imagine it's a bit more what he was like when he first arrived to Ireland, like that kind of scared, nervous, finding it very hard to interact. And it's hard to understand then why he could not have stayed in Ireland. I think that's what people will be left wondering.
It's impossible to comprehend when people watch it. Well, I hope when people watch it on Wednesday night on RT2 and they see what has happened to him now, they'll know why I went over trying to get answers to find out why on earth was this adoption. I would totally understand if there was some sort of hope that he was going to be reunited with his family, but that was never on the cards. Cousins have never been in touch, aunts and uncles. We looked into all of this. Is there any chance that he was going to be adopted by his natural family? No is the answer. And now he will spend the rest of his life in state institutions in Belarus. He'll go to an adult asylum next, which is even worse than the children's orphanage. And I can only hope that when people watch the programme, it might encourage more young people, older people who have time off work, time off school, to take some time out and go to Belarus and help improve the lives of all these children. Because Banny's story, it's special to us and it's unique to our family and it's heartbreaking for us. But I mean, Banny is he's not special. He's not unique. There are 30,000 children in orphanages there, 30,000 little Bannies. And, you know, I thank God for the Irish helping to improve conditions, and they are getting better. I mean, that is the good news.
Well, it's a really, really powerful piece of documentary, I have to say. If you've just joined me, I've been talking to Colm Flynn. He is the presenter of a documentary on RT2 airing Wednesday. At what time, Colm?
It's on at 9:30 Wednesday night on RT2.
Okay, and it's called Finding Ballyculum. Thank you so much for joining us on the programme today.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.